Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Probably not a whole lot going on. Tuesday, done with a weekend of football, but not a whole lot going on. So, but the color rush uniforms were unveiled for this year. And for the Packers, it's all white except for the yellow helmets and a green and gold or a gold stripe down the side of the pants. So to me, it looks kind of cool. And I think the color rush, I was not a big fan of a lot of them last year, but I think for this year, I think they got the color rush right. I really think they did. So there is that. You know, we have a lot to talk about. NFL week one is done in the books. Week two is going to be here in 2 days before we know it. We have a special guest for tomorrow's show as well, Sarah Barshop. She covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN Nation reporter covering the Houston Texans. We're going to have her on the show to talk about Houston Texans' week one victory over the Chicago Bears, and also talk about her thoughts on the season overall for the Houston Texans. And Troy, we've only had 1 week of games, and I think we already have the call of the year. And I'm gonna play it for you all really quick, but you know, this came out one of the games from last night. And to me, this is the call of the year. So here it goes, courtesy of Westwood One.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the coat. Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part.
Yeah, and I like the end of it. That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight, talking about the 49ers and the Rams game. But, you know, Kevin Harlan, I love Kevin Harlan. He does a lot of the Packer preseason games for Packer Television Network. And I wish he would do more Packer games during the regular season. You know, the son of Bob Harlan, I'm just a big fan of him. But before we go further into the show, though, I'm going to send it to you. And how are things going out by you today? And what a call by Kevin Harlan, huh? He made a man running on the field exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, they had it right. That is about the most exciting thing that happened in that game last night. But out here, things are great. Another wonderful day, and it's actually beautiful fall weather. Those listening in live, you may hear the crickets chirping in the background as I have all the windows open as I'm on the show tonight. So it's great to be able to have the windows open, Evan. Nice cool breeze coming in. It was really hot, though, during the day. But the nighttime, perfect. Perfect fall weather. And I'll tell you, Evan, it's week one in the books. Now, you just talked about the most exciting plays, a fan running on the field in the 49er game, Ram game. I put in the preview, it's week one. 16 teams have a winning record, 16 teams have a losing record. And I know it's great to get excited about your team. It's great if they play well in week one. You never want to be behind the eight ball and have that first loss. Being 1-0 is great. But 1-0 does not mean you win the Super Bowl. There's 15 more weeks to go. A lot of football to be played. It's okay to say my team played well in week one. because they won does not mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not being particular to anyone. I know fans get overly excited. Fans are going to say, my team looked really, really, really good. And you know what? It's great. But they got to look really, really good in 15 more weeks. You know, we talked about Packers.
Can I throw something in there, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you said just because they won week one doesn't mean your team's going to Super Bowl. Just because they lost week one doesn't mean your team's going to have a losing record either.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just fun to watch the banter on Twitter. And it's great that your team looked good. And some teams looked really good. And so we're going to start having right out in Western PA, in Steeler country. The Steelers last night against the Redskins, they started off a little bit slow. But I got a couple things from this game. One is, I'll tell you, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, look like they're in midseason form. They didn't miss a beat. They looked really good. However, you also have to take that with a caveat, and I'm going to let you talk about that because we touched on it before the show started. There's a reason those two look like they are in midseason form, and they're good. Don't get me wrong. Good combo. Good quarterback, good receiver. They should be putting up numbers, but I think the Redskins aided in that. D'Angelo Williams, for 33 years old, I got to give the offensive line of the Steelers some credit. They did really well against that Washington front. Had some holes. Williams was punishing last night. Looked really good while Le'Veon Bell is out. And that's good news for Steeler fans to have that 1-2 punch. So on the flip side, I've said this since the offseason, Evan. I didn't buy into the Washington hype. I don't know where the hype came from just because they signed Josh Norman. I don't understand. You gave Cousins $20 million, and he did not look like a $20 million quarterback last night. Underthrowing receivers, overthrowing receivers, missing timing routes. He did not look very good at all. And I'm not going to say it's because the Steelers applied a ton of pressure. They applied some pressure. But if there's anything the Steelers need to get better at, especially next week going to Cincinnati or playing Cincinnati, they've got to get pressure on Dalton. They didn't do a great job getting pressure. Cousins just missed the throws. But in week one, we're talking about the good performances and the bad, and last night there was one of each. Thought the Steelers played really, really well. Redskins, not so well. So I want to get your thoughts, though, Evan. We talked about it before the show. Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger really looked good last night. But what in the hell was Washington thinking all night in the coverage with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, well, first thing with D'Angelo Williams, you know, let's start there. You know, he's a 33-year-old running back, but the thing is, he's not your typical 33-year-old running back. You know, he's had, you know, other than 2008, He had 273 yards rushing. Other than that, he hasn't really had a lot of rushing yards. He had 216, 87, 155, 173, 201, 68, and 200. And his two first years in the league, 121 and 144. Part of that was not being able to stay healthy. The other part of that was Carolina was running a two running back system, I believe, starting in 2009. With the addition of Jonathan Stewart. So I think he's more to me like a Thomas Jones, who had his most successful career during the second half of his career. So when most running backs fall off, that's when Thomas Jones had his most success. And that is what we're seeing with D'Angelo Williams. And a lot of it is because he didn't get a lot of wear and tear on the tires early in his career. And like I said, part of that was injury. But, you know, part of that was also just not having the wear and tear, like I said. In regards to Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and all that mess, you know, Brown's the best wide receiver in football right now. And I say right now just because how flux the game can be. You know, 8 weeks from now, we might have another best wide receiver in football. But right now, Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver in football. With the suspension for the entire season for the Steelers' second-best wide receiver, he he has a shot to break Marvin Harrison's single-season record for receptions in a year. He also has a shot to go over 2,000 yards receiving. But how do you single coverage him most of the game? How do you not have a safety over the top helping out? How do you not have that? And you paid you paid all this money to a former Carolina corner and Josh Norman. You pay him all this money to be this lockdown, shutdown corner, but you don't put him on the Steelers' best wide receiver. And now Washington's going to talk about scheme, and it's going to talk about, you know, it, you know, the, you know, he wasn't on the, you know, the side of the field that Norman was playing, or they're going to talk about that, you know, on this particular play, Norman was supposed to be over here, and it had to do with scheme. I think Norman was only on it maybe three times. How do you put your best corner on your team on their best wide receiver just three times, if that was even that? To me, that was just embarrassing. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, embarrassing game. You know, he ended up with over 300 yards passing, but a lot of that was in garbage time. You know, no running game whatsoever from Washington. Other than DeSean Jackson, there's really no receiver that was a big threat in the game. And Pittsburgh's defense benefited from the Washington being sloppy. And Pittsburgh didn't record a sack. You know, Pittsburgh's defense did not record a sack, and they held Washington to 16 points. Mainly, biggest reason for that was turnovers. Now, two interceptions, one at the end of the game by Harrison, but Shazier, Ryan Shazier had an interception in that game as well and forced a fumble. I look at Washington, and I'm not going to count Washington out because it's only week one and it's a long, you know, long 15 games left. But they got a lot of stuff they got to clean up if they want to compete in a weak NFC East. The NFC East is weak. The Giants didn't impress in week one. The Cowboys are impressive. The Eagles are impressive, really. Yes, Carson Wentz had a good game, but I'm not ready to crown the Eagles anything special yet. But the Steelers, offensively, like I said, they have Antonio Brown, and he ended with 8 catches for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns. Thankfully, he didn't get a third touchdown because I was able to win my fantasy league. If he would have had one more touchdown, I likely would have lost. But, you know, Big Ben, I don't think he quite gets the credit he deserves. I don't think he quite gets the attention that top quarterback in the NFL gets. All Ben does is be successful. All he does is win. But Steeler fans, as I just said about Washington, as Troy was saying, don't put the cart before the horse. This is just a week one win. You got a tough Bengal team next week. You know, we're going to find out how you guys are after a little bit more about you after that Bengal. So, throw it to you, Troy. What are your thoughts on the Steeler win and then the Redskins? Just dumb coaching, in my opinion, all the way around for them.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add, I pretty much gave my quick recap before I turn it over to you. This whole thing with Josh Norman, and you want to say, well, Antonio Brown didn't line up by him. Well, duh. If I'm Mike Tomlin and I'm Todd Haley, why would I put him over there? I've got a number of players where I can put Antonio Brown on the left side of our offense, and that's what I'm going to do. And that 4th-and-1 play, that was a gutsy call, you know, and Mike Tomlin's playing it off in his news conference. Like, yeah, we practiced it. We had faith in it. Yeah, we thought we could do it. And I'll tell you what, it was a perfect play. Good pass, great route. But again, in that situation, Evan, on 4th-and-1, I saw it coming watching the game. You could tell. The minute Big Ben saw Antonio Brown one-on-one, why would they run it? Why not take a chance for the end zone? If I'm the Redskins and I see Antonio Brown going split to the left, I don't know how you don't make adjustments and you don't move Norman and just say you're going to lock down Antonio Brown. If he's on the left side, you're going to the left. Now, they mentioned that on the broadcast. And John Gruden, being the professional announcer he is, and not wanting to get on his brother, and just being a professional, talked about it's not as easy as just moving a guy around. However, there are a number of teams that do it, Evan, with their best cornerback against the other team's best receiver. It's all in the coaching part of it. And like you said, if you're going to throw the money at Norman and you're going to pay him to be a lockdown corner, then you should have the scheme set up where he is taking the best receiver from the other team and you're going to work your defense around that system. They're professionals. I just didn't get it. I really didn't get it. But moving on, I want to go to another performance. And I go from the Steelers, and I live in Western PA, and now people are going to get on me because I'm going to talk about the Patriots. But with no Tom Brady, Evan, they went to Arizona. Jimmy Garoppolo, starting for Tom Brady, they went to Arizona, and they came away with a victory. I mean, it wasn't a dominating performance, but I want to say no Tom Brady, no Gronkowski, a very depleted team. They went to the desert, and they came away with a win, which is actually good news for the Green Bay Packer fans. Since Arizona's in the NFC, it's one loss that Arizona has, which can really come into play at the end of the season. But for New England, Evan, all Bill Belichick does is win. Doesn't have to be pretty every time, but I want to give New England credit in week one. I honestly, I knew it was going to be a close game, and the Cardinals had a chance to win. They missed a 47-yard field goal. But for New England to go to the desert and come away with a good win against a good team, you got to give Bill Belichick credit. He coached that team up. With as many injuries and suspensions as they have, you got to give them credit for going to the desert and beating an Arizona Cardinal team that many have going to the Super Bowl. They're that good of a team. And so I thought it was a big win for New England without Tom Brady in week one to be able to get that win. What are your thoughts on that game?
Well, not only about Tom Brady, but also about Gronkowski as well. Gronkowski missed the game with a hamstring injury, and I don't know when Gronkowski is going to play next. And my guess is they might keep him out to Brady come back, to be honest. But you got to tip your hats to the Patriots. They played an outstanding football game. They did just enough to win. Garoppolo wasn't anything overly special, but he did just enough to win. He only had 9 incompletions for the game. That's really good. 264 yards passing. He had 33 attempts for those 264. You know, this was Tom Brady. Brady would have had probably almost 400 yards passing with 33 attempts. But Garoppolo did what, you know, he did. He played to his strengths. And the play game plan and the offense was ran to Garoppolo's strengths. And that's something that Bill Belichick and company in New England, that's something they do really well. You know, I think the Patriots are, if I'm not mistaken, 11-5 in games Tom Brady doesn't start. And the reason is because they don't get cute. They don't do stuff that, you know, they don't do stuff that the quarterback can't do. They work to his strengths and they try to limit the weaknesses. Now, Julian Edelman had a strong game, 7 catches for 66 yards, and Blunt did just enough on the ground to help control the ball and give, you know, keep New England's offense on the field and the Cardinals' offense off the field. You know, Carson Palmer, you know, a decent game, nothing special. He struggled early on. You know, Johnson had a pretty decent game. But the biggest thing was, again, they did not allow very many big plays to Arizona. And the defense for the Patriots played extremely strong. Collins had a sack. Long had a sack. Valentine had a sack. And you know, it got pressure on Palmer early and often in this game. And it was a huge help for the Patriots. And you know, this is a game that I put down for a loss for New England in the 4 games without Tom Brady. Now, I think New England has a legit shot at going 4-0 with Tom Brady not playing. I think they have a very legit shot. I won't be surprised if we, if the Patriots end up going 4-0 now. You know, week 2 is going to be a tough matchup for the Patriots, you know, mainly because it's a divisional matchup against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins aren't a special team, but like I said, it's a division matchup. So, moving on, there's another game I want to mention. And this was, if you like offense, you love this game. The Oakland Raiders and the New Orleans Saints, 35-34. And how it became 35-34, Troy, we always talk on this show when we're doing recaps, usually talking about the Packers, that they played not to lose. Jack Del Rio played to win. Jack Del Rio wanted to win this game. He didn't want this game to go to overtime. He wanted to, he went down by one, 34-33, after this, the Raiders scored, to get it within a one-point game. Rather than take the extra point, they went for two. They went for two and made it. And the Raiders' defense held on the last possession of the Saints, and the Saints missed a 62-yard field goal to secure the victory. And, if Del Rio goes for two and they don't get it, we're spending the next few days criticizing the Raiders and Del Rio for going for two and not taking the extra point. But Drew Brees completely carved the secondary for Oakland. He had 423 yards passing. Snead and Cooks both had over 100 yards receiving. He had four touchdowns through the air. He shredded this defense. He shredded this Raider defense. And Del Rio did not want to give the Saints the ball back if they could in overtime. Because here's the thing, if the game goes into overtime with the overtime rules, they're unlikely seeing that football. But he goes for two, they get it, and the Raiders get the win. But unfortunately, Michael Crabtree, he almost ruined it. He catches the two-point conversion, and then he makes a gesture at 47 seconds left, and he makes a throat-cut gesture that draws a 15-yard personal foul. And if he doesn't draw that 15-yard personal foul, they're very unlikely to get into position to have to attempt a 62-yard field goal. But what were your thoughts of Jack Del Rio drawing a lot of criticism throughout his NFL coaching career, especially when he was in Jacksonville, basically showing that he's got, WWE chairman Vince McMahon would say, grapefruits, showing us that he has grapefruits and going for two rather than the 1 point?
Yeah, he's got the kahunas. And I'm going to go back. When the Raiders hired Jack Del Rio, I thought it was a great hire. Jack Del Rio is going to bring that kahuna attitude to Oakland, and they played like it. Now, they had to overcome a 14-point deficit in this game. It didn't come down to just that one play. And like you said, Evan, had they kicked the extra point, I don't think you're stopping New Orleans. Drew Brees, if he's on your waiver wire in fantasy, I doubt he is. But this guy is going to – he's going to throw for a ton of yards this year. Drew Brees is looking good. That Oakland defense, Evan, they're not a pushover defense. They're a pretty okay defense. Nothing great, not a top 10 defense. But, man, Drew Brees looked like he was playing against a high school team at times. The guy is playing really well. When we talk about week one, don't get overly excited. But when you're looking at offenses that are clicking like that, There's no reason to think that they're not going to continue. They're going to have a blip in the radar. But, man, Drew Brees looking good, and especially with Cooks. And, Jack Del Rio hit it right on the head, and you hit it on the head. You got to go for the win because, honestly, if this game goes to overtime, you're probably not winning this game. And for a team that's trying to make a statement this year, you and I both agree this is a team that is right there, that could sneak right on up, Evan, in that division and possibly contend for a playoff spot. They got a very good young quarterback in Derek Carr. Amari Cooper is going to be a very good wide receiver in this league. Like I said, defense has gotten better, not great, but a better defense, just not very good against the Saints and Drew Brees. But this is an offense, Evan, that can put points on the board, and they hung toe-to-toe with New Orleans. And we'll go back to it. Jack Del Rio had the kahunas and said, look, we're either going to win this game now or we're going to lose it or we can lose it in overtime. And he opted to make a call that probably, I'll put it this way, 30 out of 32 coaches in the NFL, Evan, probably not going to make that call. The only other coach that I'd say would be close to making that call, Bill Belichick. And I'm not even sure if he would have in that situation. But I give credit to Jack Del Rio.
Pittsburgh's coach would too, though. I think he did it last year. But it's very small and very rare breed of coaches that would.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but like you said, had he missed that, yeah, people are going to criticize him. And I just think it should happen more. And you go to this, no matter what the outcome was, no matter what happened there, and I'm going to put that to the side, whether they got it and they won, but if they would have missed it and lost, I'm going to put that aside right now and just go to how much Jack Del Rio understands his team and knows what's going on in the situation. We both talked about it. Had he kicked the extra point, his team was getting carved alive on defense. They probably, like you said, they would have had to hope to get the ball and score a touchdown to win. But if they didn't, they're probably going to lose. So my whole point here is, yeah, Jack Del Rio made the call, had the kahunas. But I go back to the man coaching, a man that understands the game. And I think he's a decent football coach, and I think he's the perfect fit in Oakland. I just hope they give him a chance. You know, we always talk about the NFL. What have you done for me lately? Jack Del Rio needs to stay there. They need to give some stability to Jack. He still needs to put some pieces in place. But I think he's a darn good coach and understands the game. So I give him credit for that coaching, an A-plus coaching performance, just understanding his team. So we got a couple minutes left, Evan. You know, we can't really get into game recaps, but what were your other great performances in week one or a poo performance? Is there somebody out there that you think just pooed the best in week one?
Well, outstanding performance, and I might be a little biased here, but Melvin Gordon. I mean, he's a guy that had some injury problems last year, just didn't seem to have the best of luck, and he has two touchdowns in the Chargers 33-27 overtime loss to Kansas City. So Melvin Gordon, I do want to tip my hat to. Jameis Winston as well. Jameis Winston put up some incredible numbers against the Atlanta Falcons, snapping the Falcons' week one whole winning streak, I think at 8. And it was the longest current. And if you want to talk about performances, about, pooing the bed, and I got to put that down to Robert Griffin III. And I don't know if he has a shot to start again anywhere else. And the problem with Robert Griffin III is he sacrifices his body, throws it around, like he's a Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger. And he's not. He's not that big. He's not that thick. But the play that he hurt his shoulder on, the defensive back for the Eagles that, air quote, tackled him, said that he never even saw Robert Griffin III. And next thing you know, Griffin's running into him. Griffin just runs. Instead of stepping out of bounds, Griffin just literally runs right into him. And ends up blowing out his shoulder. Now he's out for he's on IR with designated to return. So, how about you, very quickly, before we let listeners go?
Well, my poo the bed performance has to be about your new Los Angeles Rams. I know we didn't get a chance to really talk about it much, but man, San Francisco is not a good team, and LA is supposed to be this. We're going to make a move, and we're going to be this team that's not going to be 7-9 again. Well, Jeff Fisher, you're lucky if you're going to be 5-11 this year. They look horrid. They're talking about –
he needs to be fired.
Well, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow night. But that's my poo performance right there. You got shut out against the San Francisco 49ers. How do you get shut out against the San Francisco 49ers? Only a very bad team does. That's my poo performance in week one. I give it to the whole team, and Jeff Fisher is the leader of that team, so he gets the poo ball. He gets it. That was just – I'm glad it was the late game, and I had a reason not to watch it and could go to bed. And that's how bad that game was. My last thing is another good performance for this week. I know people in the NFC North and Packer fans are going to be, how can you say that? But I got to give the Lions credit, Evan. They went to Indianapolis, put up 39 points. Indianapolis doesn't have a great defense. But I give some credit to Jim Caldwell and that Lion team. You know, they lost Megatron, and they found a way to put 39 points up at Indianapolis, and they got a big road win in week one. So I give them credit. You know, again, it's against the Colt defense, which is not very good. But still, you had to travel to Indy, where they're normally a very good home team. They put up 35 points against the Lions. So I'm not saying that the overall performance was great, but I'm going to say I give credit to the Lions in week one for putting up 39 points, going to Indianapolis, and getting a big week one win. And wins in the NFC North are very important. So that's where I go with maybe my surprise performance of week one had to be with Detroit. I didn't know offensively losing Megatron how well that offense would actually work with Matthew Stafford, but they went out and put up 39 points. So, you know, kudos to them in week one. We'll see how they progress. Defensively, not very good, but they got a win in week one. So that's all I have, buddy. I know we're in archive time, so I'm going to let the listeners go. Thanks for listening tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.